Well, today we're going to go to John, John chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Jesus replied, "I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God." Now, of course, that's the major problem right there, because people today, that when they see miracles and hear you talk about these wonderful things, they're not born again. So the stuff you're talking is crazy. They think you're crazy. They think you've lost your mind. But we haven't lost our mind. We're sons of God. So he says there, "What do you mean?" explained Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" In other words, this is the only thing he knew. See, he was not born again. He was not a child of God, although he was a ruler in the synagogue. But he didn't have this spiritual knowledge. He had never been born again. Nobody had been up to this point. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" I mean, that's the only thing he could put together was, if I have to be born again, then I have to go back into my mother's womb and come out again to be born again. But let's see what Jesus said there in verse 4 and 5. Jesus replied, "The truth is, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit." Then he says in verse 6, "Humans can reproduce only human life." Now, I believe with all my heart that's exactly what he's talking about in verse 5 when he said you have to be born of water. When you're carried in your mother's womb, are you in a sack of water? Yes. I mean, and when the water breaks just before the baby's born, the water comes out, doesn't it? Yes. And so you're in that tube of water. Now, isn't that amazing how today, if you put your head underwater for more than about 3 minutes, you're gone. But isn't it amazing how God can put you in that little sack of water and keep you in that thing for 9 months? But you know, what can God do? Ain't nothing hard for God. You know what I mean? I mean, so you're in this little sack of water and you're supposed to be normally 9 months. And of course, unfortunately, some of them come out in 4, 5, or 6. Or he says you've got to be born of water. Verse 6 says humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. Now, that Holy Spirit is where we get this spiritual life. And of course, that comes from Jesus. Verse 7 and 8. "So don't be surprised at my statement that you must be born again. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." You know, when somebody accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you and I cannot see what's going on in the spirit world right there, can we? In other words, you know, I mean, I think about so many people, just like the little boy, 19, 20-year-old, whatever he was, over in front of Walmart the other day. In fact, the two young boys, they carried that television out in the box and put it in my pickup. I asked them if they were Christians, and one of them said, yes, he was. The other one didn't answer. He turned to walk off. So I said, "Son, come back over here." I said, "You know, are you a Christian?" "Well, don't guess." And I said, "Well, if you died today, you know where you'd go?" "No, I have no idea." I said, "You'd go to a lake of fire called hell." I said, "Do you want to spend eternity in a lake of fire?" He said, "Absolutely not." Well, see, anybody in his right mind, you know better than that, right? In other words, if I was up there over that magma coming out of one of them things, holding him on a string in a helicopter, said, "Now, if I drop you, where do you think you're going? Where do you think he's going? Do you think he wants me to drop him?" No, nobody in their right mind would want to be dropped into that stuff. Can you imagine that? But did you know that's where every one of us are? I mean, everybody is just seconds away from being dropped into that lake of fire. You know, if you're not born again, that's where you're going when you die. You know, but if people really, if we don't have somebody that like us, that Christians, that'll go out and tell people, they got to be born again. And of course, when they're born again by the Spirit, you really can't tell. Just like when I led that little boy to Jesus, and then I prayed for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of love, joy, and peace. And then I haven't seen the boy since, of course. So I don't know what God done there. But I remember a young boy down, in fact, the very first convert I ever saw, when I had never led a person to Christ. And I mean, never. And I remember the pastor, Dr. Ben Smith over at Lakeland, he made a statement. He said, "If you've never led anybody to Jesus, you need to make God, need to make a vow to the Lord. You'll let him use you to bring souls into the kingdom of God." And so I thought, okay, Lord, I'm a deacon here in the church, a Sunday school teacher, and I've never led anybody to Jesus. You know, I've been a Christian for 20 years at that time. I had never led anybody to Christ, never. And so I thought, okay, Lord. So I sat down with a piece of paper, and I wrote down, I, Thurman Scrivener, promise to do the best I can to bring, and I just drew a line there, blank number of people into the kingdom of God this year. Then I said, Lord, I know I hadn't led anybody to Christ at this point for 20 years or 25, whatever it had been. So I need you to give me a number to put in here. I said, thank you, Father, for the number. And I wrote 10. I looked at that and I thought, good grief, I put that in ink. I can't erase that. I must have lost my mind. You know, I ain't never got nobody saved, and I'm going to win 10 into the kingdom in the next year. Oh, my, I'm in agony now, Brett. I said, Lord, I know I can't do this, but I ask you for a number. And that number came to my mind, so I said, I'm going to have to believe that that number came from you. And so a few days later, I was in New Orleans. I was building a building down there for the company I was working for. And this young man come in. He had a delivery. He was a young man, I don't know, early 20s or whatever. Oh, he was using all the foul language, you know, blankety blank this, blankety blank that. You know how some people talk. You know, it's just a way of talking. I went over and I said, son, I said, do you know who Jesus is? I mean, I said, you sure are using his name, you know, in God's name awful loosely. I said, do you know who he is? No, I don't have a clue. I said, well, you know, let me talk to you about this. I said, I need you to know who Jesus is. He said, well, sir, I got a lot of deliveries to make. I don't have time to talk. I got to get on the road. I said, okay, son, I'm over here at the Quality Inn tonight in room 255 or whatever it was. I said, I'll be there after 6 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to know more about this Jesus, I said, come over there and I'll share him with you. Okay, he said, room 255 at the Quality Inn after 6? I said, yeah. Okay, so he jumped his truck and he's gone. And I thought, you know, is that kid going to show up tonight? Now, what had I just done? I'd made a commitment to win souls into the kingdom. Who do you think is controlling everything? The Holy Spirit. That's exactly right. So I was in agony making sure I didn't miss. I mean, I'm not going to stay at work over 6 o'clock. I'm going to be there at 5 or 10 minutes till 6. I'm going to leave work and I'm going to get over to that hotel where I can be ready if that kid shows up at 6 o'clock. I'm not going to be late. I don't even go to dinner that night because I don't want to miss him. I get over there 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7. I'm reading the Word. I mean, I'm writing down scriptures. I'm writing down page numbers on a tab of my Bible so I don't have to try to remember these things because I don't know where they are. You know, I don't have all this stuff committed to memory. So I'd find a good verse, and God give me from 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock, 3 hours to study and write down information in the front of my Bible. Go to page number 75 or 575 or whatever, verse so-and-so. And I'd go to there, and I'd underline those. So it'd be easy. And then finally, 9 o'clock, I said, I got it all laid out, but I said, well, he ain't coming, Lord. It's 9 o'clock. So I thought, well, I'll just take me a shower and go to bed. Turned around, walked off, and I said, Lord, it can't be that kid at 9 o'clock. But there ain't nobody in the world knows I'm in this room except you and that kid. So I walked over to the door and opened the door in agony, and there's that kid. Hi, sir. He said, you told me to come by tonight after I got through work. You'd tell me more about this Jesus guy. I said, yeah, come in, son. Come in. So he came in and I pulled him up a chair there and I went through all them scriptures for the next hour and a half. And as I showed him this stuff, I said, at the end, I said, would you like to make this Jesus your Lord and Savior? He said, I sure would. I thought, wow, that was so easy. I can't believe this. But just like you said, who's orchestrating all this? The Holy Spirit, sure. And the Holy Spirit's doing it. I don't have a clue. You know, I'm still totally living in the flesh. And so anyway, I'm wanting this boy to get born again. And of course, he just accepted. I said, well, I even had the prayer written down. You know, I had everything done. You know, I was ready. Well, we read the prayer. And we thanked the Lord for saving him. And he got up and said, thank you, sir. I'll see you later. And the boy walked out the door. And I thought to myself, Lord, that couldn't be real. You know, I mean, it's just like getting people healed. It couldn't be real. You pray for somebody and they reckon they're going to really get healed. Well, when they get healed, you can see the results. But, you know, sometimes when people get saved, you're not sure. And so I thought, wow, okay. So I thought, well, so anyway, it was probably another 3 hours before I finally went to sleep that night. I'm thinking, Lord, was this real? That kid really get saved tonight? I mean, here is this kid. I never seen him before in my life till this morning, you know, and after delivering this stuff. So and he's using the Lord's name in vain and all this stuff. I thought, did this really take? Did the Spirit really do something? Like Jesus told us, the Spirit's going to do this. And so next morning, I finally get up and, you know, I'm out at the job site by 7 o'clock every morning. I got a building to build. So I'm on the job there, and about 9 o'clock, we're always taking deliveries on this building, this new building. So all of a sudden, here comes this little truck, and he backs in. The same kid that was here yesterday. He gets off and said, "Good morning, Mr. Scrivener. How are you doing?" And I said, "Well, son, I'm doing great. How about you?" He said, "Oh, I'm good. I'm really good." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." "Yeah," he said, "praise the Lord." So I noticed he wasn't using any foul language. We go into the little breakfast room there where we had. I always buy a few packages of donuts for the contractors, you know, because they could have a little snack or something early in the morning. So we go in there, and this one of the guys come in. He sits down, and he's using the same foul language that the boy was using yesterday. And I'm just sitting here observing this. This boy's sitting here beside me on a stool eating a donut. All of a sudden, he says, "Mister, do you know who this Jesus is you're talking about?" And the man says, "Well, no, I don't guess." He says, "Let me tell you about him." And this little boy told this guy about Jesus and how he just got saved the night before. And I stood there in awe. Yeah, is that amazing? I mean, now, what if you make a decision, you make a vow to God, "Lord, I will be used of you for your glory. You know, you bring people my way so I can get them saved in the name of Jesus." He will do that. And at the end of that year, I started keeping record. And in the 12 months of that year, guess how many people I led to Jesus? 10. Exactly right. 10 people come to know Christ. I made a decision to do that for the Lord. And that year I saw 10 people come into the kingdom of God. So guess what I done at the end of that year? I got on my knees and said, "Lord, I ain't going to put no limits on you this year. Last year I limited you to 10. And that was stretch my imagination to think that I could win 10 since I'd never won anybody into the kingdom. But I saw 10 souls come into the kingdom of God. And that first one was such results. You know, when you think, how did God do this? You know, can you see the wind blowing? No, you can hear it, but you don't know nothing about it. So when the Spirit moves, you don't really know what He's doing.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled "No Property Taxes in Heaven," or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.